Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Before I do anything, I want to acknowledge two people who are missionaries from New Song that they've moved back from Mexico. Dwight and Christy, would you stand? They are our missionaries down to Mexico. And now, in the next few weeks, we'll get a chance to bring them up to the pulpit and to let you know what they're doing now. They have not stopped their ministry. Matter of fact, they're remotely operating a lot of different things. But I tell you, the impact that they have had on that country and other countries around the world, and when I say around the world, I'm not kidding. I'm talking about India. We're talking about South America. We're talking about Guatemala and on and on and on and on. They've made a tremendous impact there. So I wanted you to know about that, that they're here. And Dwight and Christy, welcome. It is so good to see you. I love you guys so much. You're wonderful. Then again, before I'll have you stand up, is now you said, well, I came in today. I got the same handout I got last week. What's with that? Because you didn't do your homework. No, that's not. No, actually, this is a two-part message. But if you didn't get one of those, and you can hold on to that. But also, this week, you didn't get one specifically for this reason. Because I want you to join other folks who are going to memorize the first 6 verses of Psalm 91. You said, how are we going to do that? You'll memorize one today. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Repeat that after me. The shadow of the... You got 2 down. I mean, it's just that easy, but I'm not trying to make that so easy, but in the particular sense, it was just kind of just a little less thing to cross off the list. I believe that this scripture, as we're going to talk about it one more time, and we're going to read through the entire scripture, that it's going to bless your life. Stand to your feet, we're going to read through it again, and I believe that God's going to do some amazing things in your life today as we look at this. And you'll get the responding verses. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where are the scripture is what happened? Did they not put it up there for you to do that, honey? I'm looking at my person up there. She's like, oh, what did they do to me? They don't have it in there for you? Just say yes or no. Throw a book at me or something. They don't? Oh, there we go. No, it's not. No. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm going to read through it real quick, and you folks will have to believe me for what I'm saying, reading. I was saying to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that awaits us at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. But this is the part you got to listen. This is where we're going today. And with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Come on, give a shout to the Lord. Father, today, we're looking at this again, and it's not repetition for the sake of just repeating something, but Lord, there's some impact that you want us to have through your word today that will help us to really find that secret place. And Lord, as we're going to find something as we single out this message that is going to help us if we're in trouble, that we need to find that place. And Lord, help me to guide folks to that place where they can find a solace and a place to cover them. Holy Spirit, we're just so thankful for this gathering of people together, and we pray your peace and your joy upon them as they stand before you. Lord, use this time to bind us together with you and your Holy Spirit. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Turn to somebody and tell them this. I know where to hide. God bless you. You can be seated. I remember growing up as a kid, and anybody ever play hide and seek? Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we were kind of, well, I won't tell you how bad we were, but we'd always go to some place you're not supposed to go to. I know you folks didn't do that. You folks were Christians, but we were maverick Christians. But the whole idea, and then, you know, you have to count to 100 or whatever, you know, and they start going and looking for that particular person. I remember one time that I picked a particular hiding place was to my detriment because I didn't realize that I was on private property. Yeah, private property. And so I'm all nestled up in there and this other type of thing. All of a sudden, I see this flashlight coming down. And there's, hey, what's going on in there? And of course, you don't say anything. He's hoping they didn't see you, but they did. And so, what are you doing in here? And of course, you explain to them, well, I'm just playing hide and seek. And they're not impressed. Matter of fact, you have no right to be here. And this is the whole thing about it. When you hide and seek, you say, well, yeah, but it's a game. It's just a game. And I want to talk to you about the game part of this hide and seek type thing. Is that oftentimes we try to obscure ourselves and we think it's just a game. But you know something? There is a devil after you. And he will seek you out, and his sole purpose is to destroy you. And unless you find the hiding place of the Lord, you're in trouble, you're vulnerable, and the enemy will get after you. So what does this mean? It means that, you know, in case you haven't figured out, the Psalm 91 is about the whole idea of the assaults of the devil, and the security of the believer is found in the promises of the Word of God, reinforced by an invitation to abide in the presence and his divine covering. Now here's a word that I enjoy talking about, probably about once or twice a year. But this is it. A quick reminder to define this idea that it's really all about when you need a hiding place, there's always fear of being discovered. What does fear mean? A quick definition of fear is false evidence appearing real. The Bible says that Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says, as a roaring lion. He doesn't say he is a roaring lion. He imitates. He's the great imitator there is. He's a roaring lion who's had all his teeth removed. But he can make a noise as if he could devour you. And unfortunately, that's what happens. But you need still, in the roar of the lion, we still want to have that secure place where God has made for us. So Jesus, and you'll find this in the Bible, I want you to take note of it. If you're doing a Bible study, I would suggest you do this. Find the places in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that these two words are together. Fear not. And after time, there's a fear. If fear not is there, there's always a promise from God. Here's our questions for today. Let's look at them. Number one, what is your greatest source of security that you rely upon for your personal safety? I've got more material than you probably do too about all kinds of different things that you can have for security in your household, and they got all kinds of, you know, things that'll watch over your house and blah blah blah, and security companies and this type of thing. But you know something? As much as security as we have, and some people say, I don't worry about security, honey, I got a gun. And me and 45, we can work it out. But if 45 is in the other room, you're in big trouble, okay? Let's work with that. But the security, what are you looking right now? What is the most secure thing that you have in your life that you're really counting upon? I'll let you process that because there's some other things that will make sense, more sense as we go along. Number two, do you feel welcome to abide in the secret place of the Most High? And some of us, when we say there's a secret place of the Most High, you'll say, you know, Pastor, I don't, because of the way I am, I don't think the Lord would ever invite me. I don't qualify. And maybe the sin of omission or commission is hanging over your head that says, you're not welcome there. He'll never welcome you. Take number three, and it looks like this. Have you ever given your life over to the Holy Spirit to conquer your fears? We make fear so natural, and I believe there's some things to be afraid of, and we'll talk about those in a few moments. But the whole idea of fear, it's to create an atmosphere for you that you feel totally unsafe. And so looking at it, let's go into finding the secret place of God's protection. Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4. We're going to start talking about this. First it says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Just leave it there for a moment. If you'd be so vulnerable, would you be willing to say, you know what? And you don't have to tell me what it is. But how many of you feel overwhelmed today? Just lift your hand and say, you just feel overwhelmed. And there's no sin in that. So I'll ask you again, how many of you feel overwhelmed? The rest of you started to tell the truth. Good. Beautiful. But overwhelming is, it's not a sin. It's just the fact that you get to a place and you really don't know what to do. Go to the next couple of verses and we're going to help them out. "For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower for my enemy." I want to let you know, when you feel overwhelmed, you are not alone, that God has already prepared something to take care of you when you feel overwhelmed. He'll be a shelter you in the time of storm. And at the time, he says, "I don't know why I'm feeling so good at this point." And you'll talk yourself out of feeling good. He says, I should be just a basket case at this point. But God will do something for you. And then verse 4 says something else. "I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I trust in the shelter of your wings." Now, that doesn't mean you camp in New Song forever. This is just a building. And the only thing that makes it a church is when you show up. It's a building. It could be a warehouse. And actually, to be honest with you, do you know when we purchased this building in 1991, it was a warehouse. All of the lights you see around here that have all been all refurbished, they didn't exist. They had sodium vapor lights in here, those icky orange color ones. And there were old tires and other stuff on the floor here, and this was a warehouse. And then the pigeons had taken over, and they left deposits behind. I'll leave it at that. But let me tell you, it took barrels to get it out, but we'll leave it at that. But the point of it is, he goes, this is just a building. But when you show up, it becomes the church, and God wants to do things with it. Well, when we are overwhelmed, we need to find a secret place. The key word here in Psalm 91 of the whole chapter is this. Here's the key words. Fear, afraid, refuge, trust, and comfort. Five things. I won't preach on all of those, but the one that pops out, the first one, is just the fear factor that will come to us. Psalm 91 really is about learning to live in the midst of fearful things without becoming afraid. Terror by day. Arrows by day. I don't know how it's affected you. It's not necessarily with fear for me. But my heart breaks every time I hear about another shooting at a high school, another shooting on a job, another person's done this or this type of thing. And then, but here's an interesting thing about it is, we can look at it in this other time, we can feel kind of the moment for the moment. Let it happen in Portland, you'll feel totally different. Let it happen at Madison High School or Grant High School, and all of a sudden, and you'll say, oh, my kids just can't go to school there anymore. What makes you think you're any better than anybody else? How do you manage your fear that all of a sudden, you know, because it doesn't really bother you until it comes next door to you? Well, our search will be for a secure place that is far above where we are presently living. Now, the Lord desires to shelter us, be a shelter for us, and protect us from phobias. How many of you know what a phobia is? Things that you have a phobia over. But I put down a few of them. There are so many of them, we could be here half the morning trying to figure them out. But here's a couple of them for you. The devil has craftily caused fear to grip people in some ways that are beyond imagination. Here's one. Cypherphobia. You know what that is? Fear of computers. Oh, really? Really? There are people that have a phobia over computers. My computer's sitting there minding its own business, ain't even turned on. Oh, my God! The computer's in here! Oh, dear Jesus, Jesus, Jesus! It can do nothing until you turn it on. It can do nothing until you touch it. Get it out of here! Get it out of here! Get the devil out of here! I got another one for you. How about ecclesiophobia? You know what that is? Fear of going to church. See, is that real? Oh, yeah, some of you are that way. Because some of you were living so bad, you thought when you walked in the door, either the ceiling would fall in, or you'd pass out, or whatever. Some of you were afraid to go to church. Oh, I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want them to know. But you're afraid of church. But this is my favorite. You got to have a favorite. It's homiliophobia. You say, what's that? Fear of sermons. Homiliophobia. What I'm giving is a homily, supposedly. I call it a sermon. I call it the word of God. But they have words. It's fear of better not preach on that particular sermon. I'm never going back to that church again. Really? You're here now, and we'll know why you left. Stay. There's phobia. Phobia. You know what that is? Fear of fear. There's not really anything you can address as far as that's concerned. Let me move on a little bit. Psalm 91 is a message of hope and comfort for all, and the call of the psalm is to face our fears in the Word of God. While we take refuge in God's protection, He delivers us from the traps that are in the world. You know, I've been trapped in situations before. I didn't know it till I got into it. Oh, my goodness, I've been duped. But the Lord says He's going to shelter us from that type of behavior and things that happen. And He will set us on high in heavenly places. Let's go into the secret place of the Lord will shelter us from fear. Luke 21:26. This is a great scripture. Luke 21:26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectations of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I believe that the enemy has craftily use the fact of fear in the church because of all the things that are happening around the world. And I just happened to be watching a little bit of TV the other day and about the things going on in China. People have been protesting over there for months. Now there's things that are happening in Iran, and they're having a rough time. And how would you respond if all of a sudden they doubled the price of gasoline and you have no recourse? In some places, they triple the price of gasoline. You say, well, oh, I just find some way. No, you wouldn't. Some of you would be in the streets like other folks are. The fear is that you're not going to make it. The fear is that God can't provide for you. Don't you know they could have gasoline at $100 a gallon, and God could give you $100 a gallon to get it. Amen. But the devil said, oh, that's not going to happen to you. Well, let's move ahead with this. It says, the constant reminder is of the message of hope and comfort is that fear is a learned response to what we perceive to be a threat. You're supposed to be afraid. I grew up in a household. My mom was a great lady, but she was a mom who worked away from home. We get home and she knew how long it took us to walk from Abernathy Grade School to home. It was like 21 minutes. 22 minutes, the phone would ring, and we'd better pick it up. And if we didn't pick it up, we would get punished when we got home. Oh, I was so afraid something happened to you, and it was 3:25, and you hadn't answered the phone. Really? But that was the fear that she lived in, that if we weren't there to answer the phone, something bad is happening. And you know something? Don't laugh at it. Some of you are the same way. It's a learned response that if certain things don't happen the way that we perceive they're going to happen, then all of a sudden, we fall into that particular place. Here's a part that I need to rehearse again. We talked about it last week, and it's in Psalm 91. It says, surely He will deliver you from the fowler. A fowler is a person who goes after birds. Birds fly up in the air, and what he does, he sets traps for birds that will bring them out of their natural habitat. It was just flying through the air, enjoying the freedom, this type of thing. And he'll bring them down out of their particular orbit, and the whole idea is to trap them. Now, I need to ask you something. What does it take to distract you? What does it take to bring you down? What are the things that the enemy can use on a regular basis to get you out of orbit of where you really belong, to the place where he can take hold of you and bring you captive? This is what this story, or this is what this message is all about. Well, the Lord will protect you from the ambush of the enemy, but what about this? We must not allow ourselves to be defined by the things that are presently going on in your life right now. Now, listen to me carefully. I know of several people in this room right now that are going through a storm and going through some things going on in their life, but you know something? You cannot let what's going on in your life to define the rest of your life. Because the devil will make it clear, oh, this is the way it's going to be. It's not going to change. You're always going to live in this particular place. God's not going to deliver you. You just have to learn to live with it. Anybody ever told you, learn to live with it? Oh, your husband will never change. Your children will never change. Your wife will never change. This other type of thing. Except for the grace of God, all of us are a mess. You couldn't change you till Jesus came along. Amen. And he's the one to start speaking some sense into you. And all of a sudden, oh, that's right, I could, you know. When he says, cast all your cares upon him, he cares for you. The things you've been holding on for so long, God says, let go of it. Let me have it. I can help you. Well, here we go. Trials and tests only improve our character and strengthen our commitment to Jesus. Well, here we go. We must be willing to face our fears and claim our to claim our future. Psalm 91 verses 7 and 8. Revisit those for a moment. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. That is a double meaning scripture. There's a lot of things that the Lord has allowed you, has been gracious to you, that never came your way. But then the part that is really here that I need to focus on is verse 8. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. But here's my question for you. How do you respond when wicked people get the result of their wicked behavior? And they're either in prison or they get maimed or even they get killed. So, well, that's all right, they deserved it. Oh, really? And you didn't deserve it. I have to be real very genuine. I have a nephew by my half-sister. And the unfortunate thing with him is he is addicted to dealing drugs. And when I say addicted, I don't mean that he has a past situation. He's been in jail at least 8 times. He got out of jail, I think it was April of this year. He was back in jail within 3 weeks for dealing, manufacturing, and selling drugs. He got out on bail. He was back in jail again in May. And this time they said, you know what? We're not going to let you out. How old is he? 38. And I looked at that, and of course, some people say, well, that's what he deserves. They got to get those people off the streets and blah, 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 the other type of thing. But something inside of me broke. I said, there are people like this that the devil has deceived. What is your response toward the people that are wicked under the control of the devil? Do you still have compassion enough left to pray for them that God would deliver them? Yeah. Come on. Well, another part of that scripture says, you will watch it, but you won't be in it. The Lord will allow us to witness the things that could have happened to us, as I talked about last week, but the Lord has spared us from, and he will give us the grace and compassion for those who are suffering around us, and he will show us favor in the midst of chaos and great loss. Well, the Lord will teach us how to intercede for them, for those who have been caught in the web of the enemy's deception. Now, here's what psychologists and other type of things. That was one of the things I studied in school. I remember I was at PSU and went through the psychology course first year, and then the next year they put out a book that dispelled all the theories from the year before. Third year, they did the exact same thing. Oh, they were just totally wrong. It's a guessing game. The devil is so unique with folks. He finds your weakness and he will maximize it, and he will shift in the middle of the stream whatever it takes to hold you into bondage. Well, let's get a little bit further with this. But to be caught in the web of this deception is not the healthiest thing to happen. It's not healthy at all. The Lord will reveal to us his plan of salvation for those who seem to be helpless. Now, this is not necessarily a planned commercial for Celebrate Recovery, but I'm not going to apologize for it. Amen, in Jesus' name. She didn't tell me to do this. It all of a sudden came in my mind, and my mind just kind of travels. One of the parts about Celebrate Recovery is if you think it's just an addiction program to drugs, you are absolutely 100% wrong. Amen. Some of you may have addictions to, Lord Jesus, can I say it? Yes. Soap operas. Days of Our Lives, Secret Storm, All of My Children. You say, oh, that's not still on TV. See, you still watch them. It's about people who are addicted, and I'm going to say this in the church, and they don't edit this out of my tape. Some of you are addicted to pornography, sitting up in church every week. You say, well, how do they address all those different things? They go to the root cause of these things. The place that's missing in your life, that when the devil tells you you can't be set free from this, you'll always be a liar, you'll always be a thief, you'll always be a manipulator. It goes to the heart of the issues and shows you the plan of the enemy is to destroy you. That's what Celebrate Recovery is all about. And here's another thing I need to tell you. And when you get in Celebrate Recovery, you don't stay there for the rest of your life. It gets you over the edge to say that, oh my, let me bring somebody else here so they can get out of this thing, because you need, God will set you free so you can set other people free. Can I get an amen? You know, I like this. I've been to a few meetings. My name is Oscar, and I'm a recovering alcoholic. You know what? My name is Oscar, and Jesus has set me free from alcohol, and I am so glad. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. But I'm here to help somebody else who believed the lie that I did, that I couldn't be set free. I'm here to let you know that somebody got a hold of me, and my desire to who I was before has changed because of the power of the Holy Spirit that changed my mind. I want to tell you something. This just came to me. Do you realize you will never be set free until you get your mind straight? And that's where the devil works, in your mind. He creates things that aren't even real, and you start believing all this nonsense. Well, that's another message. I'm back now. Okay. The Lord will teach us how to overcome the fear of darkness. Wow. This is Psalm 91:5. You should not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. I don't have a whole lot to say about it. Otherwise, the dark times of a believer occur when time has passed during daylight, and it's time for it to appear. As sure as the sun comes up, the sun will go down, and when the sun is no longer absent, darkness automatically comes on the scene. But you know what? Darkness has no power. Light does. Because whenever light shows up, darkness has got to head for the hills. The Bible says you are light, you are the light of the world, you're something that cannot be hid. So when the light of Jesus is in you, wherever there is a dark place, you know something, you bring light to the moon, and the darkness has to go. It doesn't say, excuse me, I'm darkness, and your light is bothering me. Could you just kind of tone it down a bit? I can guarantee you this. They could turn all the lights in here, and I could strike one match, and there would be light. What am I trying to tell you? That's the power of God in your life. Let your light so shine before men, they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, our greatest fears will surface when there seems to be out of nowhere. Psalm 91, verse 10. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Do you know what the Lord did when he taught the disciples to pray? Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I don't need a show of hands. I believe I'll have 100% anyway. I will have 100%. All of us want to be delivered from evil. So if he says we need to pray for deliverance from evil, that means evil is present. It's not just deliver us from the presence of evil, it's deliver us from the power of evil that would make you want to do the things that are evil. And so that's to deliver us from the deception of wanting to be involved in the enemy's plan and the way he's doing things. Got to take you to the very last part of my message, because it's talking about the Lord will prepare a place for those who will face their failure. I don't need to ask you how many of you have failed. We all have failed. But I want to take you to a familiar story in Jonah. And just give you the backstory to it. Jonah was called of God. He says, go to Nineveh. He went to, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He went to Tarshish and gets on a boat, and he's headed the wrong direction. And everybody suffers because of Jonah. Okay? And then we'll pick up the story in chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Now, let me tell you something flat out. Some of the problems you're in right now are your own fault.
Oh, I feel like I'm never going back to New Song again. Pastor, excuse me.
It's your own fault. If you had done what God told you to do in the first place, you would not be where you are today. Can I get an amen? The Lord said, don't marry him. You married him anyway. You light up my life. You give me hope to carry on. And then one comes along. What's love got to do with it? But you were under the spell. I need to help you today. But anyway, he's crying out of the fish's belly. So anyway, he goes, supposed to go one place, goes to another place. And so he caused all kinds of problems for other folks. And I know that some of you are going through some hard problems now. You need to check the itinerary of people you're hanging out with. Some of you are still in trouble because you're with people that are in trouble. You need to ditch some of them troublemakers. Leave them where they're at. You'll be going down with them. But so, of course, the sea gets rough and this type of thing. And then finally, he says, you know why you're having all these problems? It's because of me. But if you throw me overboard, everything will be okay. You can follow up in the story, and that's exactly what happens. They throw him overboard. But you know what? You know what I love about the story? Even though Jonah was disobedient, God was still prepared a place for him to hide. It wasn't the best of place to go. Riding around the belly of a big fish, seaweed, other things, other undesirables. But let's look at the story real quick. So he cried out because of his affliction, and out of the belly he cried, and you heard me. Go on to the next couple of verses, please. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, and your billows and your waves passed over me. Some of you in a rocky ride, oh, I don't know. It's your own fault. Just thought I'd let you know. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. I don't care how dark it is where you are, you can still look to God and you can find him. When it seems so black, like you can't see anything, God is still available. Go on to the next verse. We're going to get through this, I promise. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Ooh, Lord Jesus. He's describing to you, it was not a pleasant thing. And some of you are not in pleasant circumstances. Go to the next verse. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. You don't need to show your hands. I know I see some people out here that God brought you out of the pit. When there was no way out, when you're floating around in the sea, you said, in seaweed wrapped around your head, somehow God found a way and he brought you out of that mess. I think sometimes we get out of the mess and we forget where God has brought us from. I want to remind you, you weren't doing as well today as you're doing today. You weren't doing that well probably a couple of weeks ago, but God brought you out. Don't forget where God brought you from. Well, but why would God hide him in a fish? Because he wasn't done with him yet. You know, God could have killed you or let you get killed. But I want to, for some of you that feel badly today or for decisions that you made, God is not through with you. He has prepared a hiding place for you to discover and for you to make some final decisions. Get to the last couple of verses and we'll be done. When my soul fainted within me, read this next line. Those four words, I remembered the Lord. Isn't it amazing that when everything falls apart, somehow you remember Jesus? Last few verses, and we'll be done with this portion. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. You're saved today because God has designed that for you. Failure can only be overcome when we take ownership of what we have done to create it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Do not play victim with me. Stop it. You created this. Then it says, from the belly of the whale, the secret place, you can find mercy and forgiveness. We must not look at our circumstances, but rather look to the Lord who is above our circumstances. Our faith will grow stronger when we resist the threat of the enemy that will try to take us, to make us feel that we have been abandoned. Somebody over here, I don't know who you are. You may have even said this last week. I feel like God just abandoned me. I prayed to him. He hasn't answered me, this type of thing. I just feel like I'm just all alone, all by myself. It's a lie. The Lord said, I will never leave you or forsake you. If you're feeling abandoned and forsaken, that's the enemy trying to convince you to go off the rail. Well, this last little portion that we need to deal with is this. The Holy Spirit will cause us to remember the faithfulness of God's word, and when our soul faints, the memory of his faithfulness will revive us. You know, because of our decision to love Jesus above our circumstances, we will discover deliverance and blessings that will overtake our life. And that's what I think is just so huge about all of this. We have to choose to remember God. Can I take you with me just for a moment and do the best you can to kind of follow the thought pattern that I have? I don't know how you could create this in a way where it would be for everyone can understand it. But just the fact that Jonah is alive in the belly of a whale, that's one good thing. Forget about the seaweed and the other accompaniments. But the one thing he realized, he says that even at my lowest point, I cry unto the Lord and he'll hear me. There's a handful of people here today, that kind of feel like they don't want to call on God because you're embarrassed, you feel badly because of the choices that you've made, and you said, I'm not going to ask God to do anything else. This is all my fault, and so I'm just not going to ask him to do anything. I'll just accept my punishment, and we'll see what happens. The thing you need to realize is because of decisions to love Jesus, circumstances will discover deliverance and blessings. We will replace our fear with trust. We will empower our faith with the promises of his presence. We will release to the Lord the sacrifice of praise and worship. Now, here's the last little piece, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come join me up here. Salvation is a daily experience of those who dwell in the secret place. Every moment we can experience the presence of the Lord. In the midst of a crowd, we can feel the warmth of his presence no matter where we are. And the last thing he says is salvation is of the Lord. He has shown us we can graciously display it to others. I'm going to go over the piano in just a minute. Pastor Paul has had to catch a flight out of here. He's had some business out of town. But I want you, where you're sitting right now, I want everyone to bow your heads for a moment. Because we're about to sing a song that is so familiar to us. And I kind of asked the Lord, what song should we sing? And then, of course, I wanted to dismiss the song because it seems, well, you know, something, you know. No, the Lord says, no, this is the song I want him to sing. And the song that we're going to sing, then I'll direct you what we're going to do after that, is a song, How Great is Our God. And the things it talks about is the splendor of the King, is clothed in majesty, that all the earth rejoice. But as we sing that song, I want to invite you to do something, because I won't be standing down front like I normally am, and maybe that's the cue that makes you come. I'll be at the piano. But while we're singing that song, when we stand in a moment, I want you to begin to survey your life and say, you know what? I want to respond to Jesus. I want to respond to God for those areas in my life where I've just kind of abandoned trusting him and let fear take over and have disobediently gone the wrong way. There's at least a half dozen people here today who says, you know what? And actually several people who've never even given their life over to Jesus. Says, you know, today I need to change my course of direction and to allow Jesus to do something amazing in my life. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to believe God to do this, and then I'll have you stand, and we're going to sing this song. And what's going to happen is that the Lord is going to do a work in you, through you, upon you, and things will change. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm so thankful today that we have an opportunity to come to this place. We come to a place where we can just really know that you're God. And in spite of that secret place that was created in the worst of circumstances, in the belly of a whale being tossed about in the ocean, thinking you would never get out, that Lord, you made a way. Lord, there are people in this congregation today that need to have a chance to say, you know what? I'm going to believe in the Jesus. I'm going to believe in the God that can rescue people who've made tremendous errors and made tremendous mistakes, that would create a fish big enough to swallow them whole and let them reassess their direction, and salvation would bring them back to a place to accomplish what your intention was in the beginning. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, here's one thing you need to remember about Jonah, that the Lord did something for him that in spite of his disobedience, God renewed his contract with him and says, okay, I'm going to let you do what I initially called you to do. Some of you have given up on yourself. God hasn't given up on you. So in Jesus' name, I pray today that you'd be willing to come forward and to allow Jesus to do his work inside of you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.